Hello, I'm Misa Hopkins, host of Women of Power and Spirit, Healing and Awakening in the Sacred Feminine. In this series, we're exploring the depths of the Sacred Feminine in real life. When I refer to the Sacred Feminine, I'm talking about the kind of energetic qualities or yin nature within all of us that is absolutely necessary for living a balanced, healthy, and happy life. The qualities of the Sacred Feminine or yin nature of a person include stillness, compassion, receptivity, intuition, creativity, that deep, quiet place within us that beckons us to open up more fully to our potential, not through more action, but rather through greater clarity and inner peace. I've met many women that have nearly died or did die and returned because their lives were spinning out of balance in their desire to achieve or in their attachments to beliefs and practices that no longer served them. I'm one of those women that nearly died because her life was so far out of balance. I know what it takes to finally stop everything and settle into truthful awareness of yourself. Many of us experience moments of revelation when our spiritual gifts open up and we are finally able to be who we truly are. In those moments and in the sharing of our stories, every woman can find hope. And now we're going to listen to one of those wonderful stories. This is a story today from Debbie Dashinger. And I said your name wrong to begin with. Let me try that. Debbie Dashinger, is that right, Debbie?
Perfection, like dashing to the snow, Dashinger.
There we go. Let's get it right. So she's faced some significant life challenges that have ultimately led her to a life of passion and where dreams come true. She has struggled with career and finances since she left college, and her troubled mind, as she puts it, would not allow her to conceive that she could be successful at what she loved to do. She held herself back and felt unworthy and was in pain over feeling that she could not achieve what she was put here to do. And I am certain there are a lot of us that can identify with that struggle and with the feelings that Debbie was faced with. So she is now the host of the Dare to Dream radio show, which is a syndicated multi-award-winning program. She has received acting nominations and awards and has been a successful motivational speaker and has worked as a professional voiceover artist. She is also the author of the upcoming book, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, and we'll be chatting with Debbie about that book in our program today. You can learn more about her at DeborahDashinger.com, and that's DeborahDashinger.com, DeborahDashinger.com. So welcome, Debbie.
Thank you, Misa. That was beautiful.
I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad you're willing to share your story with women that are going through some really terrific challenges in their lives. It's a really beautiful gift to give to other women.
I was touched in your opening when you were talking about people who've come near death and come back. And although I can't relate to that in a physical sense, I can relate to it in an emotional soul sense. And I've often said that I was killing my soul. I was soul killing by not being who I was put here to be and not doing what I was put here to do. That was my personality makeup is 100% about connecting with the world, about inspiring, about teaching, about putting my light, like all of us, putting my light out into the world, and to have held myself back for so long. That was my near-death experience. Not a happy place to be.
Mm-hmm. You speak that so beautifully, that there's a place where the soul must live. And there is a part of us that is dying until we really nurture that soul and understand what it is our soul needs and wants. Is that a fair kind of summary of what you experienced, that you had to learn how to feed your soul?
It's such a fair summary, Misa, that I have to say it's become my life's mission right now. And isn't that funny how our biggest wound is often becomes our greatest gift? So my wound, right? Feel that, because for anyone listening, feel that. And you can look in your life right now and wherever you're like, oh my God, I'm not enough for this, or I can't that, or I'm holding myself back here, or I'm supposed to that, but I fill in the blank. Wherever your wound is, or something happened in your childhood, if you will but choose to heal, choose to walk through that anyway, in spite of, on the other side is the greatest gift for you, and then the greatest gift for you to give to the planet.
Debbie, let's go to the end of the story, and then let's come back and look at some of the beginning of your life. But if you were to say, this is it, this is what I came here to do, you talked about being inspiration, about being a teacher. This sounds to me like there's some healing that you provide for others through that inspiration and that teaching. What do you think is your message, the core message that came out of your life that you have given birth to and you're sharing with the world now?
Live out loud.
Live out loud. I love it. All right, so I got the vibe of it. Now, tell me about what that means to you.
Well, first of all, I want to say my journey isn't over, and I know I haven't arrived because the universe has been, it has been like this hysterically funny, ironic ride. So every time I think, oh, this is it, it becomes a grander version of it. So I'm just here today doing what I do, book coming out, radio show, yada, yada. But I feel quite clear that the universe has grander things, that as I keep stepping into a bigger playing field, yeah, I keep allowing myself to go to the next highest level. It's scary. I may want to play small, but I allow myself to expand there anyway. And when I go there, I find the next thing. So next thing may be speaking, keynotes, panels. I know for sure I'm going to start coaching people to help them make their dreams come true. That's what I'm saying. I'm on this incredible journey, and I'm just opening myself to it. So even though it kind of seems like the end, who knows, maybe we're really in the middle, but it is wonderful. And it is wonderful to finally in my life be able to talk about, and finally has been, you know, this is at least a decade, of saying yes, 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 I will, yes, I'll show up, yes, I'll be, yes, I'll be all you created me to be. That's really it. And as far as what is live out loud, it means whatever your gift is here, do not put your light under a bushel. Yeah, they say that in the Bible, and I'm not a big Bible thumper, trust me, I'm a metaphysician, but there are some beautiful key words in the Bible, and that's one of them. Never hide your light under a bushel. Why? Because you are given your light to put out to the planet. And, Lord, children, do we ever need your light right now on this planet? We all know we're in the time of an amazing shift going on. In fact, most of us know the shift is almost really over. So we are going into a whole new time, a whole new paradigm. Everything has fallen apart and changed. Money, finances, countries, relationships, jobs, entrepreneurship, who we are to ourselves, who we are to our guides, counselors, source, everything has changed, and it is our time to take that light we were given as a gift to ourselves and others and put it out there. So do not be afraid, and if you are, do it anyway. That's what live out loud means.
That's what the live out loud really means. I got it. And I heard that when you said, you know, I could say no, and you could be quiet. In other words, you could just live a pretty simple life without accepting those challenges that and opportunities that come to you, but you've been saying yes. Would you talk about one of those moments where a part of you really wanted to say no because it was scary, but you said yes anyway, and what was the outcome of saying yes for you?
Okay.
Those are tough moments that we face.
They're interesting because really, and I want to be clear, our biggest obstacle, I swear, is ourselves. How do I know? Because I'm the queen of it. Whatever you guys do, I do that times 100. I swear. So if it exists, I've been through it. That's why I can help you so much. So I'm just on the other side of that because I already know the system. So one of the biggest times for me was when I got a call I was doing motivational speaking all over Los Angeles, and out of nowhere I got a call from a producer who said, hey, you know, this fellow gave me your name. They had a very big television person who was supposed to voice a cartoon. She had to drop out because of a conflict, and the fellow was in a tough place. He said, we really need someone. This is a late notice. And many producers are stepping up and recommending actresses. Somebody recommended you. And they had a cartoon. They needed this lead character. Out of my mouth came, oh, okay, awesome. That's terrific. Just email me the script and let's set up the time for the audition. But the bubble over my head said, oh, my God, I never thought this. I don't know how to do a voiceover. Oh, my God, you auditioned on the phone? Wow. Well, I got the script. I loved it. Loved it. I was impassioned by this character. Needless to say, I came up with two voices. I guess something took over that day. That day of stepping over. And here's one big secret. We all have feelings, and I maintain, obviously healing will heal some feelings and make them transmuted into something better for us. But it also at some level, some of my feelings just are feelings. I still get afraid at a lot of things, but I just recognize and go, cool, thanks for sharing. I get you're really terrified of most things, but guess what? I'm going to do this anyway. And when we're done, we'll sit around the round table, and you'll see this wasn't so scary after all. And that's what I keep doing. I just do it anyway. And I did that in this case. I read the script. I loved it. I had two takes on the character. I did the first read-through with the fellow on the phone. He didn't laugh, and she was a funny character. And I thought, uh-oh. I said, please, can I do a second read? He said, yes. And I was very lucky. He said, yes. And she was a very mean character, so I did a very sassy Afro-American Southern character, and I had this guy in stitches, and he said, I've never pictured her that way. That was fabulous. However, I have five actresses to test, so we'll get back to you. No problem.
I got the part.
I got the part, I got in the studio. They found out I sang. They were going to hire a pro. They said, awesome, can we write a song for you? You betcha. And the beautiful news is, they up my pay. And that is an example of a time when I said, I couldn't possibly. This is really, really scary. But you know what? I went forward, and look how great that turned out. And if I hadn't have done that, I would have never done radio because that was my connection.
Oh, interesting. So there was a step there. It was a step to taking you into what you're doing now.
Yes, and I really feel like the universe like orchestrated all of this. So I went to radio because I thought I loved voiceovers, wanted to do more, could only get a few gigs, and I thought, I saw a job for radio, and I thought, oh, that'll get my voice out there more. I never had any intention of staying in radio. It was a stopgap. But guess what? The universe went, beautiful. This is where we want you. This is where your voice is supposed to be to inspire people to make their dreams come true. You have a new radio show. It's called Dare to Dream. You're going to interview amazing people. It's going to be like a master class. You're going to get to talk to people every week and help them move forward. Dot, 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 dot. 5.5 years later, here I am.
Living out loud on the air. I love it.
Exactly.
Oh, what do you think is the hardest part? What do you tell yourself? What do you, I heard some of that. I want you to go into a little more detail about how you coach yourself to that place where you get to yes.
That's a wonderful question, and I want to be really clear about the answer. That's great, Nisa. It's a few things. Intuition is very important to me. So for me to have a time of stillness to ask, what am I to do? What's my next step? What would you have me do? Another piece is stillness, such as meditation, and if I can do it, anyone can, because I'm a 24/7 kind of gal. But there are times when I really just say, no, no, we just have to stop and breathe, stop and connect and breathe.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it true? It's hard to get to your truth when your mind is busy, but when your mind gets still, truth emerges. Is that what I'm hearing?
You're right. You're absolutely right. I recently finished writing my book, as an example, And I just thought, la, 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 we'll get the book published. But somebody threw down the gauntlet to me and said, Debbie, this book should be a bestseller. That's how good this book is. And I think if anyone can do it, you could do a bestseller launch next week. Now, I hope people out there who are listening to this have done a book, so they listen to me and go, what? It wasn't even published and you did what? Yes. You know why? Because after she said that, I went into shock and terror. And then I said, well, I don't have the answer, but, you know, and whatever you guys want to call it, for me, it's God, Goddess, all that is. Source has the answer, and I'm connected to Source at all times. I got quiet, and I asked, and they said, you go, girl. We got your back. We love you. You do what you do best, because if anyone can do this, you can. And then I said, how? I mean, do you realize a bestseller campaign on my own, no team? And they said, you decide. Do you understand? You decide. Because once you decide, everything will fall into place. If you waffle, then that's what you'll create too. But if you step into this 110% and do every step you need to get yourself there, we got your back. That's all you need to do. And it's been amazing. So that's what happened starting Friday night. And I am well on my way. The book's going to be published. I have huge transformational leaders sending out my information to all their databases. I have huge free bonus gifts from amazing people who buy my book get these bonus gifts. All I'm saying is that how humbled I am by who's shown up and what's happening. I made the daily news book list for top releases, and my book's not even published yet. It's going to be published like in a day, like on November 18th. So you see what I mean by that? Like, you just get still and you ask. You get still and you connect. And my intuition is my greatest GPS, my God protection system. It always tells me what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. It does. Did you know that when you were very young, were you tapped into your intuition? Was that something you had to grow into over time, or did you know it from early on?
No. No, I was like, I'm alone, nobody loves me. No, I was not. I was not connected at all. I was built to be connected, but I wasn't in a setup that allowed me that. Tons of inner chatter and trying to figure things out on my own and that sort of thing. Sorry?
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Just go ahead and then I'll ask you.
It's an acquired gift, I have to say. It was in there all along. That's the bottom line. It was just in there all along, and it took some time to come out and for coaxing and also to recognize it was there all along.
All right. Now I'm curious about the inner chatter that was in your mind, and when you either flipped that switch or started to have the revelations that you needed to quiet down that inner chatter in order to get the trouble and the doubt and the concerns that go through your mind, to get them to quiet down so you could really meet you. When did that, I have a feeling it was a switch that flipped. So when did it happen, Debbie?
I really did inner healing work for some time, because there was so much inside of me that was in pain and really needed to be addressed. You know, sometimes it's very good to give a voice to that, so there's tears, so there's expression, because it's only energy that's been held inside for so long. You know, if we need to cry, if we need to say, ouch, that hurts, if we need to say this bad thing is happening to us when we're little, but we don't have a voice for that, and we learn to stuff it inside, it doesn't go away. We all know this, right? It's energy. Energy is energy. Energy stays and remains. But it got stuck inside of me, as it does in each of us. And so it was about giving my pain, really, a voice, my doubts a voice, my fears a voice, in order for them to be dissipated. To tell myself it's okay to feel the way you feel. Because the amazing thing is, when we accept what we are feeling, when we just say, oh, okay, you're really angry right now. I can see why you're really angry right now. It makes sense. We give ourselves that level of permission. It evaporates. it's really this contrary kind of experience, but it does go away. So I think my journey began when I started to allow myself to, it's like I validated what had happened and what I had been through, and I validated some of the voices, even though they weren't comfortable. And then I did other work, and I want to be really clear that I also took a lot of responsibility for some of the stuff I had done. You know, I looked at people who had been in my life that I held grudges against, people I didn't forgive, people I wasn't in contact with, people I did wrong to, and I really cleaned up my act. Huge. And that opened up a tremendous vista of energy for me so I could be present and I could be who I was intended to be and I could be a good person. Really, I think we all want to be that and do that. And sometimes we have to go inside and say, wow, you know, what have I done that even though I pretend I don't care about it or they deserved it, what have I done that I'm carrying around inside of me because it doesn't make me feel so good? And I stepped up to the plate and went to these people and said, I am so sorry that X. And often with tears because of the, you know, how terrible I felt that I would hurt another person. And once that was cleaned up, I could put something in its place. Okay, I've been like X. What could I be like instead? And we can recreate ourselves at any moment in time. And I made all new choices. But really owning my mistakes, owning my part in things, that was another big piece of the healing. And it gave me tons of free attention and tons of ability to be present. So anyone who's done healing work or wants to do healing work, you know, you can do that too.
Debbie, I think you're making such an important point here, and I want to emphasize it a little bit because it is so important. There's a place in our healing journeys where we do realize we have to acknowledge our feelings, and you speak to that so beautifully, just to honor what you're actually feeling, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable or painful, to honor it. And once it is met or acknowledged or you are present with it, it does dissipate. It's gone. And the place where I find that we become the most resistant to yes, to really saying, yes, I will allow myself to be true to this feeling, is when we realize that we have hurt someone else. It's one thing to acknowledge our feelings when we've been the victim. It's another to acknowledge our feelings when we've been the abuser. We have hurt another in some way. That is devastating to most of us who are sensitive and who really are caring individuals. And yet I'm hearing you speak to the freedom that you experienced when you were willing to have that kind of courage to say, you know, I don't always have it all together. I didn't always have it all together. And I can own that, and I can own the hurt I may have caused. And you created a different kind of energy in your life, one that was based in love, one that was based in a freedom then to become who you really were and wanted to be because you weren't driven anymore by those subconscious feelings and needs that play out when we're not being fully and completely honest with ourselves. Is that true? Am I summarizing it fairly?
Perfectly, Nisa, perfectly, because it is integrity work. That's really what it is. We can call it forgiveness or healing, but really it's about having integrity as a human being on this planet. And my feeling is that everything is a mirror reflection. So whatever I create is going to be mirrored out in my life from others back to me, but also on a global level. I look at this planet right now and I think about how countries are at war, how people are being held back and treated really poorly, women not treated so well. There's so many children who need help on our planet, so many who are going hungry. We all understand this, right? It hurts our hearts. So I can look out there and say, oh, I'm powerless over that. That's terrible. Well, what could I do? What I can do is be the pebble that starts the ripple. And by being the pebble is I can look in my life and say, I know I looked at this situation and said, you know, they did this and they did that. And no one's ever going to do that to me. And that was so wrong. How dare they? Bop, 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 bop. If I look under the veneer of that, I will often find under the drama that where was the place where I went wrong, where everything started to happen? This is deep work I'm talking about. Where was the place where I did something? And in that moment, and it takes a lot of stillness to do this, if I go back in that moment, I can see, oh, my God, this is what happened. Doesn't mean that everybody is always right and that sometimes they didn't do things that they could step up to the plate about, but it does mean that I found my place where I veered off the path, and I can find where perhaps somebody had been really wonderful to me in my life, and in this one situation, I gave everything up without ever honoring all they had done for me in the past. Or, you know, there's so many different situations I looked at where I mistreated people. I saw a lot of patterns of things I had done with people that were fascinating to me. And if I want, I do want peace inside of myself. That's period, for sure. I do. Because these are like energetic garbage bags we carry around and don't realize. I want a peace in myself without all of that. I wanted to be present and have free attention. I wanted to be the best I could be. And I knew that this would be reflected back from others to me and that this was my peace to give to the world. Peace, P-I-E-C-E and P-E-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. It's my way of starting to create peace at my level and hoping that that starts to affect, forget about a ripple, a tsunami out there. And if others will align with this too, and create peace in their lives and healing, think about what that could do on a global level.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. It takes one ripple to make significant change. And if I'm remembering correctly, you had a time in your life where you stopped acting. You basically stopped your career in order to go into some inward reflection. And this really resonated for me because I did exactly the same thing. I left the stage because I said, I can't be other characters. I can't be others right now. I need to really get down in here with me. And would you talk about that moment? Because that sounds to me like a moment of truth where you really realized the ripple that you could make. And you made a decision that influenced and changed the rest of your life.
Yeah, that was an amazing time because I had, from the time I was a young girl, really, I came out of the womb singing and acting, loved being in front of people, could never get enough of it. And I had done that for my entire life, went to college, you know, been performing all the time. And I had a 3-year period where I kept saying, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And as an actress, what that means is when you get a part, you break down the character's lines into intentions and you break down the entire script. I didn't want to do it anymore. Memorize lines? What are you kidding? Of course you have to memorize lines. How else are you going to say what? I didn't want to do it. I had all this stuff popping up and I thought, this is really weird. I don't know what's happening. And the thought would come up, maybe you need to give this up. But how do I give that up? That's all I'd ever known. It was literally my identity. It's how everybody knew me from the time I'm little till I'm an adult. Give it up? How embarrassing. You know, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? That's the only thing I think I've ever been built to do. So for 3 years, I wrestled with that thought back and forth. And during a year, it was the biggest career year for me. I got a huge movie. I got a huge country national tour theater. I got fill in the blanks. It was a big year for me. I couldn't ignore anymore what was going on inside. And I decided I'm leaving this. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. I don't know if it's the wrong thing to do, but I know I will never know until I step into this 100%. And that was a big deal. So I just said, I'm letting it go, and I will explore, and we'll see. And I often say it was like Persephone. If you know anything about mythology, Persephone goes into the center, she's sent into the center of the earth. And it's a very weird time. So it's like for me, I went into the desert of my soul, you know, underground, and went, wow, who am I? What am I? And I had nothing going on for over 3 years. Like, nothing. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was a trust in a weird way. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I went, oh, I totally trust this process. It was really like, what else are you going to do except do this? And so I trusted at that level. So at the end of 3 years, I took a jewelry class, and I loved it. That blew my mind. And all of a sudden, after one class, I couldn't stop making jewelry. I mean, I was pouring jewelry out. People were seeing it on me and saying, that's beautiful. Where can I buy it? Oh, I made it. You made it. Can I buy something like that? Sure. 3 months after starting to make jewelry, I started selling in 5 to 7 upscale stores across the country. This was in the heyday of jewelry. And I loved it. I loved it for 7 years. During that time, I used to sing funny Christmas songs. I used to take Christmas songs, change the lyrics, and talk about the crazy things that happened in this country over the year. And I would be brought to all sorts of parties to do my show, and people loved it. And a guy came up to me during one of these parties and said, you know, I'm in a big band, and we just lost our lead singer, and you're pretty damn good. I'd love to have you come audition. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. And I showed up because whatever meant, like, what's a big band? What am I doing here? It was a lot of what am I doing here. And I showed up, I auditioned, they loved me, they took me on, and there went a long period of time where I performed with a big band for weddings and all sorts of gigs. Also, I did a jazz combo, which I totally loved. And I'm making jewelry, and 7 years later, I'm like, lost my passion for jewelry, but now I know what to do. Let it go and see what happens. And then I created this workshop. Always wanted to be a professional speaker. Don't know if I'm going to like it. Let's try it. And so I started doing this professional speaking. That's when I got the call for the voiceover in the cartoons, and that's what led me to radio, to my book, and to you here now. So it's a lot of saying yes to opportunities. It's a lot of saying no to places, you know, of doubt. It was such extreme doubt in my soul, I had to finally honor it and just allow whatever else was out there. But I have to say, like, in the moment, I had no idea what was going on. Scary, weird, uncomfortable. But the brilliance of it is that I can look back from here today and go, wow, whoever loves me up there and surrounds me, man, you love me, because that's some brilliant orchestration, how you went that huge zigzag to put me here now, really in the empowerment of my purpose.
Yes, because you couldn't architect it in the same way that it unfolds when it's really coming out of your connection with whatever you call source. It's that beautiful, beautiful trust that you develop. And what I'm hearing is that you surrendered several times in your life to what was next, what is next, what is next. And you were willing to be present with what is next and then allow your passion to just open like a flower. And so all sorts of beautiful opportunities emerge that you could never have designed mentally. Is that true? Did I get it right? Is that what you experienced?
Thank God, thank God, thank Goddess. Thank Goddess I did that. Because if I hadn't done that, I would never have been able to conceive of this. Because if you had said to me even 10 years ago, you know, you're going to be on radio. You're going to have an extremely popular show. You're going to be syndicated. You're going to win awards. I would have been like, ha, 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 that's hysterical. I have no interest in radio. Next. You know?
So
it's like, when it's true. The words you use are beautiful because it really was about surrender. It really was about being open to opportunities coming my way. It was really about not having to figure it all out and letting it just unfold.
Yes, yes. And that really is the nature of the sacred feminine. And I watched in my own life, and I watched some of my clients and the people I've been privileged to serve over the years. And we do this funny little thing where we think we have to get it all figured out and planned out, which is our masculine energy really trying to move forward in the world. And it's a beautiful energy, by the way, and you need it to move forward in the world. But it needs to be coming from the right place. from the core of who you are in this moment in alignment with source, in alignment with the universe. And when it emerges from that place, which comes from your stillness, yes, then you can figure out how to put on a bestseller book campaign. But you're coming from the right place. That makes all the difference in the world. That's when the magic really happens. And it's the missing piece for many of us. We're overworking. We're working too hard to figure it out. And it's beautiful when you realize that you don't have to, that you really can surrender. And I love that part of your story because you share it so wonderfully. It's like, yeah, and look at where I am now. How could I have seen
that? Yeah, for sure, Misa. And, you know, exactly what you're saying, my experience is that it takes action. And I teach this. I teach really specific steps in my book. And I urge anybody who wants to get there, you can. I'm telling you right now, you can, you can, you can. I believe in you, you can. Go get Dare to Dream, This Life Counts on Amazon. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's about action, right? So you have to figure out what the dream is and figure out what the steps are to get there. Absolutely. And you must be diligent to show up for yourself and go, I decide, I'm stepping into this 100%, and you go out and you do it. You allow yourself to have that. You allow yourself the worthiness to bring those great things into your life. And this is an and, you take action and you let go. And you take action and you release. And you take action and you let co-creation happen. It must be both for balance and for really the most wondrous things to be corrected. That's interesting. To be created. The most wondrous things to be created, because it's and or this or something even better. And the even better, God knows what that is. Goddess knows what that is. They can bring that forth for sure.
Yes, yes. I love the way that you've shared that. It is both, and that's where we get tripped up. That's where we get confused. When we embrace both, then everything happens, then everything is occurring in a most grand way. And I also like the fact that you spoke to the worthiness, because that sounds like it was a big part of your journey, was going from the feeling of being unworthy to now feeling worthy. So would you talk about that worthiness and what that's like to live in that space?
Wow. Okay. The first thing I want to share is tick, tick, tick. Does anyone else feel that like I do? Because I sure do. My life is so short. As long as it's going to be and healthy as it's going to be, it's still but a blink of an eye. And there's no way I'm going to spend that in front of a television set. There's no way I'm going to spend that in remorse. I'm going to use this life. I'm going to use my breath. I'm going to use the goodness I was given and the gifts I was given. That's where my worthiness comes from. Okay, Source, you believed enough in me. This makes me want to cry. You believed in me enough to give me this life. You put me here. Let me give it reason and purpose. And so, it is my job to find joy. It is my job to find my happiness. It's my job to esteem myself enough to show up. Really. And wherever there is any lack, to root it out and heal that and keep moving on. And for all of us, there will always be, none of us ever just arrive in perfection. But it does get better and better and better and better and happier and happier and happier. I worth myself. I am worth and give myself worth because I'm part of Source. And if I think Source is like the rock star of the universe, well, then so am I. And so are you. And so is everybody listening. I am worthy just because.
Yes. Yes, I really hear the truth in that. That unworthy is when we are cutting ourselves off from Source, because that would be like saying Source is unworthy. And how could that ever be possible? And so
yes,
if we are those beautiful divine expressions of God, Goddess, the divine, then we must be worthy. We must be. And then we get to define what that looks like in our lives. How do we play out the worthiness of being alive? And that's what I see that you're doing. That's what I experience when I hear you talk about your radio program and your book that's coming out. It's like, oh, you are living in the worthiness of your unique and beautiful expression in the world. And that is a precious gift to all of us listening here today, all of us that read your book, all of us that listen to your programs. We get to experience the beauty of you and the way that you uplift the people around you simply because you perceive that you are worthy and that you met that challenge. You took it and met it. Embraced it, loved it. And so now we all get to be in the experience of you as one who has gone through the trials, the heroine's journey. You've gone through the trials. And now you are living and breathing as you always dreamed yourself to be. And now you're sharing that process with us about how to live that dream ourselves. So I want to thank you for being you, for being here at a very powerful time and doing such wonderful work for you and for all of us. It's a great gift.
Thank you, Misa. Thank you. That was gorgeous. And I really appreciate you, too. This is, your show is amazing. This is a gorgeous show and a perfect timing to have a show like this. So thanks for your kind words. I really appreciate it. And I want to say also as far as worthiness that for each of us, you know, really it's about receiving. Do you know what I mean? Because there is goodness everywhere all the time. So I'm just going to try to shift you a little bit here. There's goodness right now in this moment, second, all around you. If you just shift your perception and shift your insight, whatever protection devices or energetic disbelief in that, just let that go for a moment into the idea, the possibility that there's goodness for you. If you would just receive, you'll get riches because there are unseen forces around you all the time. There are people showing up for you in reality all the time. You can be there for you all the time, but it's just about receiving and saying yes. And it's that small of a shift, but that huge of a change.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is bringing another reflection to mind for me. And that is in theater, we say, in order to be able to really enjoy the theatrical experience, whether we're talking about movies or stage or whatever it is, one needs to suspend your disbelief. In other words, you need to enter into that world and believe it's true for this moment, to believe it's true. And in order to really receive the gift of what an actor or actress brings to you, you're going to need to enter that reality and believe in it wholeheartedly for a little while. And I have seen how that plays out in life. It's that willingness to suspend the disbelief and to be willing to say, oh, I could enter this reality and I can be with it. We do it every time we sit down and watch a movie. We suspend just enough to be right there with those characters, living that reality. And it's a tremendous way that we receive new perspectives about our lives and we can actually shift our beliefs in that moment. And that's what I heard you describing. Mm-hmm. And it fits so perfectly with your background and this beautiful thread of your life, how it's prepared you to come right into this moment to do what you're doing right here and right now.
Mm. Does that feel good? Exactly. Yes, and just like how we would say on stage or in the movies or on television that we are suspending disbelief, especially on stage because we pretend there's a fourth wall when in fact that's the audience. So everybody's in the audience is watching this show and suspending belief and saying this is real, and they're crying and they're laughing and they're loving the character or hating the character. Oh, that was a great show. Oh, I didn't care for this. But everybody has this visceral response to it. And you know, Misa, that's, as you and I know, this is what life is anyway. It is but a dream. It's actually this crazy illusion we've all signed up to come here and do, and we make it all so darn serious. And it really isn't. It can be just a pleasure and a joy, and you can decide that. That's another receiving. You can actually decide just to step into that and receive. So whatever, you know, your fourth wall is, that can be you making some choices about how you want to interpret the play of your life. You're saying you be the director, you be the producer, and you tell that actor who's you, the lead actor, actress, you know, I think I'd like a little more of this and a little less of that, and change your intention to this and make it a little more lighthearted. We want a happy ending.
That's exactly it. In the same way that you approach that character. You know, you played her one way, and then you asked if you could play her again. You can I do the audition again in a different way? And you did, mm-hmm. and you found the levity and the humor that you wanted her to be in the way that it expressed through you. And when we realize that nothing is static, it is a big play. It's a big, fun play if we want it to be. Nothing is static. It will change when you choose to change it. And yes, it takes courage. Oh, yeah, it takes courage. But it's right there. It's already in you when you allow yourself to be that who you really want to be, to truly be.
That's our potential. Yes, indeed. In my 20s, I co-wrote a song with my brother, David. My brother's an amazing composer. And I wrote the lyrics, and I sang it, and we sold the song very quickly. It was called As Within, So Without. And one of the lines of the song is that courage is not without fear. Courage means in spite of fear. So when you say, you know, that we step up to the plate with courage to do the next right thing, you know, the understanding is it doesn't mean I've got it all together and I'm really clear how this is going to turn out. And no, it means I'm afraid. I may have a lot of feelings, but in spite of all that, I'm still moving forward. I am going to do this because this is what's correct for me.
Mm-hmm. It's being really true to yourself, really true to yourself. And there mm-hmm. are moments easy and it glides, and there are those beautiful moments where you feel the fear and you're going to go. You're going to do it anyway, and that's what I hear you saying. And certainly I know that comes up in an acting career. That comes up when you're starting to develop your jewelry, when you're creating a new product and you're bringing it out into the world. There's fear at all different moments of our growth, and it's important to the growth. I love what a friend of mine offered me as a description, the difference between fear and excitement. And he said, it's the difference between exhaling or not. And he said, fear is, and excitement is,
That's great.
And I was reminded of that as you were sharing your story. It was like, oh, yes, you exhaled, and that is the difference.
I love that. It's only a breath away just to and move forward.
That's right. Go ahead and feel the fear. It's just half of excitement. Go anyway.
And I really think it's point that we do it enough, we keep launching ourselves to the next level and the next level and the next thing, that at some point that those feelings that try to sabotage really start to dissipate, and the excitement that you call it, that beautiful breath out, that starts to take over. So the balance starts to shift, and it's much more about this knowingness, I got this. The universe has me. I got me. I'm going to land on my feet. It's going to be fine. It's just I'm going to be experiencing something new, but I'll be fine. And then we go from that even to, ooh, I can't wait to see what this is going to be like. So the good thing about launching ourselves is that the other feelings that tend to hold us back, the fear and the doubts and the trust issues and whatever else, those really do start, those voices start to lessen. And the excitement starts to become much more dominant and exciting. That starts to drive us forward even more.
Yes. Yes, and that is the difference. If I were to look at your story, I would say that is the difference between the living in the unworthiness is where we're feeling all the fear, and living in the worthiness where you're really living in the excitement. And you are.
Indeed. Yes.
Yes, I can really hear that. You are living in the excitement. How wonderful. Debbie, is there anything, one last thought you'd like to leave us all with as we bring this to a close?
Well, I hope that anyone who feels anything today, please feel free to reach out and connect with me. I would love you to. My website is deborahdachinger.com. It's an Austrian last name, so it's spelled DACHINGER.com, and it's Deborah, DEBORAH. deborahdachinger.com, my radio show, all my archives are in there. You can listen to them. My videos are there. As you know, my book is coming out. I do hope you'll go to Amazon, and I'd love you to connect with me. I get such joy out of people who are on this path as well, and all of us are here doing the good work. I just so support you to go out there and do what you are here to do. Trust that. Trust that you are given your gifts for a purpose, and if you are given the dream, you are also given the power to make that come true. And thank you, Misa.
Well said. Thank you so much. This has been such an enjoyable interview with you. I've enjoyed every minute. Thank you.
Me too, my dear. This was yummy.
Perfect. Well, in closing, I want to thank all of you who are listening, those of you that are on your journey and on your path, and you're facing your unique challenges and your unique opportunities, and you're saying yes, and you're committing. You're looking at the places in your life where you feel unworthy and opening to your feelings and being present to what's really there, the ways in which you are accepting the worthiness of who you really are in living in that light, as Deborah reminds us to. Oh, that was interesting. I called you Deborah all of a sudden. Oh, I wonder what your given name means. I'm going to have to look that up. So I have a feeling it has something to do with it there. But Debbie's really reminding us that it is so wonderful to live in that light, and it is a powerful and fabulous journey that each of us gets to take in this drama on earth. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Debbie, for sharing your story and inspiring us so wonderfully. And with that, we'll conclude Women of Power and Spirit for today. Until I see you again, may love, compassion, and truth prevail in your life.